I think music is happening in the background of our life, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever happening to us, it's the music, it's our friends. Like, we listen to sad song when we are sad, when we need power, we feel hopeless, we listen to empowering songs. And I think music is part of our journey, and you cannot separate it actually from our life.
Music Sociology, Gesellschaft durch Musik verstehen. Musikerinnen Special.
Okay, hi. You are here in the podcast Music Sociology, and we will speak in English, as you noticed maybe, because I started in English now, because our guest Farabas will do the talk in English, just that you know this. And before, I would just will tell you what our podcast is about. It's called Music Sociology. It's called Music Sociology because André, hi André.
Hello, Daniel.
And myself, Daniel, Daniel Kubiak and André Knabel, we both are social scientists. And we know each other since Schülerzeitung times. So we did Schülerzeitung together.
Oh, he begins and, at the Urschleim. Yeah. This will take some time.
And we did this in Berlin-Friedrichshain. So it's nice to be with this podcast in Berlin because that's our hometown. And after this, we decided to study social sciences, and we got social scientists, and still we are. And then 2 years ago, we found out that we also very much love music. And we always, when we hear music, we always think about social sciences, and we think about society and what music tells us about society. So we started this podcast inviting social scientists, bringing us music songs. And with these music songs, we talked with the social scientists about their research. So we did 3 seasons until now. The first season was about integration and migration, and we had Sirin Selikutluk or Aladin Emefalani, who is parallel to us now also here. And in the second season, we had social inequality, and we had Heinz Bude and Stefan Lessenich and Jana Günther as guests. And in the third season, the topic was democracy. And we, for example, had as a guest Rosa Butch. She brought Turkish and Kurdish music, which was quite nice. And so they always brought music, and we talked about how they think about their music and their research. And then we decided, our fourth season, we invite musicians and talk to them about how they think maybe with their music about society. So that's where we are now. That's the fourth season of Music Sociology. You will find us on Spotify and everywhere. And we invited musicians, and we had already Suki there, and we had Laura Braun there, and MBP, Michael Blanco Perez. And we talked with them about their music and music from others and how they think about society. And today we will have Farabas with her, and she, Farabas, André will talk a little bit more about Farabas very soon. But what I really want to say is that Farabas will bring out her album on the 11th of May, and also will have a concert in the SO 36 on the 11th of May. And just that you know that in 11 days, if you know, it's a little bit more, 14 days, 15 days, then you can go to the concert and you can enjoy the music in life. But today it will be from the playlist. And
thanks for the promotion.
Yeah, Farabas. And before we talk to you, André will introduce you to...
Yes, I think there are still some tickets left, so hurry up to buy some, and then you can see her at SO 36. Hello, Farabas.
Hello.
We love to listen to your music since our guest Suki brought one of your songs to us, Dessert. Suki told us why she loves your music, and she told about your collaboration for the song Yin Jian Azadi, Woman Life Freedom, where you support the Iranian women's rights movement. And so we got very curious to drive a little deeper into your music, and we did it, and it was really a pleasure to discover the very different atmospheres and sounds of your songs, as well as the different topics you address, like feminism, self-determination, protest and rebellion against patriarchy and suppression, in Iran, and everywhere. Here as well, in Berlin. And regardless of how big the problems are you sing about, your songs always radiate hope, strength, and love, and a fantastic humor. I think it's, yes, sometimes sad, but often very funny to listen to your music, and it makes a lot of pleasure to enjoy it. But let us start. For those ones who meet you for the first time today, who are you? How would you introduce yourself? What are you saying?
Hi, thanks for being here today, and thanks for having me, of course. I'm Farabaz, Iranian singer. I'm also an activist, and I started to sing when I was a teenager, and in a country where singing is banned for women. And but actually, I was too young to think about even I'm doing something dangerous and it makes me to become a criminal in the future. And when I was 26, I've been arrested by the government because of only singing in public on social media, and I got 1 year of prison sentence, and that's why I'm living here, and I'm here with you beautiful people in exile. And I'm free, if we call exile free, freedom. And yes, I produced my first legal album since last 3 years, and which called Azadi means freedom in Farsi. And it will be out on 11th of May, and the same day I will perform at SO 36 as well. Also, it's not only a concert. There, we will also watch a documentary about my life story. Before the concert start, it's 20 minutes, a short documentary. Also, the documentary will be this year on New Yorker platform that everybody can watch it. But you can watch it earlier if you come to the concert, of course. And I also, since I left Iran, I started a campaign which called The Right to Sing. And as I started to bring awareness about female singers in Iran and how they are living, and how is life living under Sharia law, and being a singer where singing is a crime. And also, and now it became an NGO and organization, and I'm trying to support Iranian female singers who are still living in Iran. We try to sponsor them, and or if they are in danger, getting them out of the danger. And this is what I'm doing for now, and I think it was enough for now.
So it seems you are the perfect guest to think about how music is connected to society. If you are saying that you come from a country where music is a crime, coming to a country where, I don't know, in Berlin, I would say music is everywhere. What is the connection between music and society for you?
I think music is happening in the background of our life. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever happening to us, it's the music, it's our friends. Like, we listen to sad song when we are sad. Mm. When we need power, we feel hopeless, we listen to empowering songs. And I think music is part of our journey, and you cannot separate it actually from our life. And I always cared about political topics, women problems, issues, but I always was thinking, okay, but also I know political topics is not really refreshing and fun to talk about or listen to. I was always, even myself, sometimes bored of listening about politics or all the other shit we are hearing every day. And I wanted to make it playful and funny, but also understandable for everybody, because sometimes we talk so hard or we produce music which is so hard for everybody to understand. And I think we need to make this gap between intellectual community and like normal or random people. I like to make this gap smaller and smaller, and that's why my music is serious but also really silly, I can say.
Maybe we have to listen to your music now. Because you told us before that you also want to do music where you can, for example, dance. Mm-hmm. And it's a political music also. And that's maybe a good example you brought us is Taxi Driver. And if the technique is working, we will hear it now.
I don't wanna be a taxi driver, even if they pay me well. I rather go to hell. I don't wanna be a taxi driver. I wanna be a bitch in my hometown. I wanna be. مثل یه پرنده میخوام آزاد باشم. بالامو باز کنم. عشق و آواز کنم. مثل یه پروانه میخوام پر بگیرم. قفس و بشکنم. عشق و آواز کنم. I don't wanna be a taxi driver, even if they pay me well. I rather go to hell. I don't wanna be a taxi driver. I wanna be a bitch in my hometown. I wanna be. Hard to sit, look at each other eyes, and okay.
Okay. Now there would be the time to dance.
Yes, I see a lot of heads moving and on the tables. Thank you. Maybe we have an.
Maybe we stop the podcast and.
And dance. Yeah, why not? Yes, what's wrong with being a taxi driver? What's the idea behind this song?
I mean, it's not. Nothing is wrong with being a taxi driver. The wrong thing is a lot of times we don't want to be a taxi driver, especially people from Middle East. We are always the first job. If you're especially a man, you come to West. It's always as a woman you can clean and as a man you can become a taxi driver. And we come with a lot of hopes, passion. We all have our special profession and we come to grow and be someone, but at the end we stay in the survival level and becoming some shit job which we don't like. That's why after the Islamic Revolution in Iran 45 years ago, a lot of Iranian had to flee from Iran, and like I can remember, I mean a lot of friends, I'm not 45 yet. I mean, if it's 45, you are 45, nothing is wrong also.
I'm 43.
Okay. You have still 2 years. No. Fat shame. Age shaming. We don't do age shaming. Your heart needs to be young, you know. Doesn't matter. The number is not the thing. Okay, anyway, and a lot of people had to flee. And for example, my friends who lived in US tell me like, whenever we book a taxi, it was an Iranian dude. Mm-hmm. We were famous to be taxi driver. And that was one reason. And when I'm telling like, I want to be a bitch in my hometown, I want to be free, it's also because the expectation from a Middle Eastern woman, you want to be free, but also you don't want to be too free. You know, they think like they see you as a good woman who doesn't want so much from life and who has borders for her freedoms as well. Also, I did a topless protest after Xinjiang Azadi Revolution in Germany, and I was attacked by so many Iranian, especially Iranian men who are pro-regime, but they were angry why I did this, because woman life freedom is not about being naked, it's about being naked shows that I want to be a whore, I want to be a bad woman, I want to be so too free. They wanted again to attack me because they wanted again to decide how much free I can be. Even I don't want to cover my hair, but I should still think about how much skin I can show at the till they are happy with who I am. And that was all the reason why we wrote this song.
Mm-hmm.
Too much explanation, but it was important.
No. That was firstly I was thinking it's a song about work, and I just remembered that there is this joke that social scientists, after they are finished their studies, they will be taxi drivers. So there is a connection.
There's
also
a link, yeah.
But most of them don't do. And then there's another thing in the song I find quite interesting in your whole music you do, is that you have this different languages. So your music is mostly in English, but now here you have this Farsi lyrics. And I will ask you which, but you already told me before. But also, do you have songs where you sing in German? For example, Ey Iran, yeah. They have also German parts. Yeah. Maybe you tell something about language and music, what it means to you, and also maybe say what was in Farsi, what you were singing there.
I mean, most of the time I write the songs with German and British people, and that's how it became a mixture. I wanted to do most of the songs in English because for me it was important that people understand the text already. Also I wanted to bring some Persian words and to bring my hometown a little bit, my motherland, to my music, of course. And also I sang a little bit German. It's also because the producer was an Iranian person, but who couldn't speak Farsi. Mm-hmm. And I teached him a bit Farsi and he teached me a bit German. That's how this, but also I'm happy I did it because after I came to Germany, so many amazing people supported me and gave me love, and that's why how I could survive. I hope that they feel a bit like I feel like I'm giving a little bit back to all the love they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how.
Okay, and I have another question. What maybe is linked to the question before? Because what does it mean? What does hometown mean for you? So you sing in Farsi, in German, in English about your hometown. And where is it? What is it? What is it? What is the idea of hometown? When
I think home is where you have good memories, and and where you have your friends. Mm-hmm. And but also I believe our body, our homeland or our bodies, because it comes with us wherever we go. And also even though I feel home in Berlin sometimes, but still I miss my home and my orange garden in Iran. And yeah, I think everybody miss home. After sometimes when you're not at home, you want your bed, your room, close the door and just be left over alone. And yeah, that's homeland for me. But also you have to feel safe when you are in your home. And I never felt safe in Iran, especially as a woman. I mean, we women, I don't think nowhere we feel really safe. But it was really intense to be a woman and living in Iran. Yeah.
We talked a lot before the podcast. It was always a problem because when you talk before the podcast, you talked about so many things that you have to think about to do it also for the podcast. And we talked about the Jinjian Azadi movement, and we also talked about that. There was a time, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I'm not actually sure, 3 years ago, and there was a time when everybody spoke about Iran and what is happening there, and everybody was well informed. Everybody, maybe Tats, people audience. Going to the Tats lab, we are quite well informed about what is going on in Iran, and we also, it seems that there's like always, that now people are not so much interested, or our views going anywhere. Like we look more to Ukraine or something like this. Maybe you can, like you did the song Gian Azadi with Tsuki and Lin. We will hear from Lin also the music song now. Maybe you can say something about what is going on and how is it important in your
music. Yeah, I saw a lot of people, supportive people in Germany after the revolution, and that's why I wanted to build this bridge from Iran to Germany. It's a song with me, two German singers, and one rapper who's still living in Iran. Mm-hmm. And
She has a mask.
She has a mask because it was not safe for her to show her face. You can go and watch it online, on YouTube. It's there. And it was really nice feeling because I think it's really heartwarming for the people who live still there to see, okay, maybe it's 3 years past, but still so many people care and sing about them. And showing our sisters, our sisterhood and love. That's why we did this song. And it got a lot of attention, which was super nice. But also you can dance with the song.
Yes.
Also, still danceable. Actually, when Lynn was writing the song, she was like, I'm a bit worried, maybe it's too happy like for such a topic. I was like, you know, when women in Iran in prison, they are dancing, and we hear when we call, when people, their family call, they hear they are dancing, they are doing makeup, they do all the things we are doing in our daily life to stay alive, to like cheer up ourselves. And dancing is always a thing to be empowered, to love each other more, to feel connected. And that's why it's a sentence we say in the song. We are stronger when we dance. It's a sentence from the song. And that's why you can also dance with it.
Yeah. I would say, for me, as somebody who listens to your music, it's a kind of philosophy in your music that you you cannot ignore the political message in every thing you do, but you can dance to every song, and you feel you get empowered by every song.
Because
too.
We live in such a shit world, we need something to keep going, you know. That's why I'm not a happy person and produce songs. Yeah, I'm dancing because I love life. No, but I just think we need to survive, and dancing always was a tool to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Let us listen to you to the second song you brought to us. It's a song by Lin, and everybody who doesn't know Lin yet, I would recommend to watch videos of Lin at YouTube. It's an amazing artist. She does everything on her own.
Queer artist.
She's a queer artist.
She's a one-person stage. They do all the things themselves on stage.
What's the word when you do it? It's a loop station, right? So it's with loop stations and...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, let us listen to the song. It's called...
They were one of the first person who supported me when I came to Berlin and gave me a lot of... I always tell they are my chosen family. And because I told you, like, he was like, how do you know so many singers in Germany? I was like, yeah, because I'm here alone. I need to build a family. Otherwise, I feel so sad and depressed. And yeah, now we listen to one of my... family member song.
It's a Lin, Call Me What You Want.
A phenomenon of the mass. It's a matter of proportion that makes you stick out or let you pass. But what if you think of a life script as an experiment to your diet? And you change the leading question to why? Is that a wrong or right? Call me what you want. 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 Call me an easy, call me an empty, call me what you want, call me what you want.
Cross the line to put things back to order. Oh, so you feel fine if you need to draw lines, an order of a certain kind, make it crisscross transverse, let them or let them queer your mind.
Yes, that was Lynn, Call Me What You Want. What was your idea to bring this song to the podcast?
I think first because it's Lynn, of course. it was a joke. Because I really love the song because it's about the people who always have problem to learn the different pronouns. And it's like somehow like Lynn is just gave up and like, fuck you, just call me what you want. It doesn't matter. I will stay who I am, even though you call me in the wrong pronouns. And it's, as a non-binary person, Lynn doing a lot of songs about how to be in between. Actually, it's the name of her next album also. And I think it's not about being non-binary. Like, I was always out of a lot of boxes. I never could fit myself to any box. And I always also thought I'm somewhere in the middle and I don't have a home and I don't have a community and I'm not accepted. And then thinking about who actually created all these borders and how they don't let us to be part of their community sometimes or whatever. And I think for me as a my job as a musician is to break down all these borders and all these boxes and or just build my own box and let everybody come and visit me if they want. And if they don't, I don't care. And I think a lot of songs of Lynn, also this song, it's about being nowhere, but it's somewhere where you want to be. Yeah, that's why I brought this song.
Yeah. What I really love about our podcast is that Suki brought you to us because we didn't know you before, and Suki brought the song of you, and then you brought the song of Lynn.
Next guest will be Lynn.
Next guest will be Lynn, and Lynn will be bringing new songs.
Lynn should bring me, you know.
But also, what is also all the time happening is that my Spotify playlist is running all these new artists, and you discover them, and I think it's a really strong song. But I was always also thinking about that you said that what music can do, and quite interested in. Let's do it like this. There's a German band. It's called Ketka, which is also quite political band. They are doing rock music, and they are also doing very political music. And they are always asked from the newspapers, what can your music do to the politics? And I want to ask you this question: How strong music is for you, like as a political tool? Like, do you think that, for example, this Lynn song really brings people to really think about how to call people, or is it the other way around that you already thought about and then you will find this kind of music?
I think we cannot change politicians. Of course, they are really dumb most of the time, but what we can do is to aware people and to make them more friends with themselves and be a reflection of who they are and give them the image of where they can be, and then they are the people who don't accept the shit politician wants to do and the stupid decision they want to take. And I think that's what music can do. Like, for example, I sing about body positivity and then I see the next day so many women posted a picture with the clothes they always wanted to wear and they were shy to wear. And I'm like, okay, that's a sign. It's like you come one step further and you will not accept that society tell you how you should look like, and you become more independent, more aware of your rights, And that makes it harder for politics to force you to do what they want. That's, I think, what music can do. But also, like, independent artists, for independent artists, it's so hard to be seen and to be heard. It's like the Spotify, as you told, it's so hard to get listener. It's most of the time about money and power as an artist, but we try our best and, we bring our little change.
Yeah. Music as business also is a quite hard topic, right? Yeah. To earn money by doing what you love.
I want to come back to the lyrics of the song again, because I think it's a very interesting song for sociologists like Daniel and me, because it is a song about values and norms and how norms force you to do something and how you are able to, as a person, to react or to question these norms. Lynn sings, but what if you think of your life script not as a normative, as scripted, but as an experiment until you die, and you change the leading question to why? So you do not follow the norms all the time, what's given, but to question it. And yes, norms and values are a key concept in sociology.
And one little thing before we go out of this topic, 1 minute, just it's like, because so many times the queerness or like being gay or like political topics come as an advertisement to just get more, yet that you can earn more money. Like I see a lot of brands, like they all have like the size of their clothes is till 38 or 40, but they force a plus size model to put on one of their clothes and they put it on the billboard. Hey, look, we care, you know? They don't give a shit about us, bigger people. And the music, and I think like this music is authentic and real because it comes from a person like me or Lynn or whatever, because we experience what we are talking about. That's why it's important to give value to it and give more attention.
Yes.
Because we don't advertise and that shitty things.
In sociology, it's an interaction between social structures, norms, and values, and people who act, interact with these norms and change these norms.
We are fact of the things we are talking about.
And I think it's, you have a very interesting perspective on it, because you know at least two social systems. And how would you describe or how you experience normative constraints and force here in contrast to Iran
is the right
Iran.
One.
Iran. Yes.
I think always the political issues and women issues and Flinta issues, it's always the same everywhere. It just have the different level of pressure. It's like, even I live in Berlin at night, I don't feel safe. In Iran, I didn't felt safe. But here it's a little bit less, but it's always the same. That's why they say, you sing about Iranian woman problem. I say, okay, but it's similar. It's always the same. It's not that difference. That's exactly how I can answer you. It's like the same, it's just different level. You know?
So you wouldn't
here
say
I should be afraid of being boycotted from, I don't know, one party or one festival. And in Iran, I had to also be afraid of getting arrested by the government for singing, you know. It's always the same about being censored, you know, by different people.
So the worlds are not that different as we think.
Exactly.
Do we want to introduce the third song?
The last song. Normally we have 3 to 5 songs, but we decided today just to have 3 songs because we just have this 50 minutes. And so we should move on to the last song. And
I hope you are not bored. Okay.
Now you can dance once again, maybe. It's Danilo.
Danilo, yeah.
Yeah.
Brazilian artist. Yeah.
And he was quite far in The Voice.
Yes.
In the show, The Voice.
Voice of Germany.
Voice of Germany. And the song is Feeling Alive. Feeling Alive, and we will...
Danilo Tim.
Yeah.
I listen every day to this song.
Really?
Yes.
I am so excited, I'm feeling alive. Gotta keep trying something new, another dress, another point of view. No matter how cold and gray it gets, I light up the city with what's in my chest. I just vibe with all my colors, so how can you be bothered by my very own decision to look so fine? It's all about how I am feeling deep inside. If I wear what I want when I am who I am. Understand me, it's okay, but do your homework, let me go my way. And if you don't know how to use them or they, you can go ahead and say my name. Just go and try, it's all about how you are feeling.
It's interesting to see the people, because the middle row is quite dancey. But there's other rows, they are more like, okay, it's music.
It's when it's gonna end.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Even when the mouths keep talking, they won't.
It's like all your music, it's really nice to it's really nice music, because it really brings this joy. Yeah, tell us why you brought Danilo.
Danilo also is a Spanish queer artist, which also was part of the German voice, yeah. And but I think Danilo is more than this, just to be part of the for sure German voice, but I think also we are somehow similar, because it's also political, it's also about being yourself. And it's all about how you feel about yourself, because the society always try to make you feel bad about who you are. And it all depends on how strong your personality is to stay positive and like yourself with all this negativity we get from outside. And also it's about, again, pronouns, and like, okay, if you don't want to learn the different pronouns, just call my name. And it's like in a really funny and cool name way, but it's also, I think, educating people about how they can feel better, or the people who don't want to learn how to treat other people in a better way. Maybe it's a softer way to teach them, okay, be cool. And if you don't like me, just let me go, and you don't need to harass me or attack me because of who I am. And yeah. And it's a poppy, it's dancey, like everybody can listen to it. And even you get a moment of positive feeling, or if you learn even one sentence from it, I think that's enough. Yeah.
What I really like also is, because when we started this podcast, my idea was about what you were doing, that people will bring us nice music, which also has somehow sociological or social, like what you can think about. But most of our guests brought more this like rock songs or hip hop songs, very a lot of text, and and we had to do philosophy about it. And when we had,
I mean, I don't listen to them really, but that's why I don't bring them for you.
And that's really, yeah. Actually, all the artists brought more this kind of songs with different different dimensions. And I really like this. What I was also thinking about by this song, because you, I just watched with my kids The Voice Kids, the actual season. And what I really, I have this, I want to talk about The Voice a little bit. Maybe we can say something about it, because I have this...
Daniel loves to talk about casting shows. Sorry. He does it every time.
Because there's this two dimensions in it. You know, I watched The Voice Kids, and I really had the feeling that, like, what The Voice Kids is presenting, like, for the public is a show, a diverse show about people, talented people doing music from... Like, you know, from a lot of different backgrounds, like class backgrounds, migration backgrounds, whatever. I think The Voice is the same. And I also was thinking, we just were talking in our podcast about the ESC, the Eurovision Song Contest, where the last time Nemo won this great voice, great music, but also political, but also dancing thing. And then the other side, all the shows like the Eurovision Song Contest, The Voice, it's business. You see just there's the front stage, and there's also the backstage. You know, on the front stage is this show, this very diverse, very talented show.
They also kicked me out one time. I was one because I didn't speak German.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't even let me to do the first test.
And I really was
and most
about
of the country, if you don't speak the language, it doesn't matter.
Oh, really? But in
the this kind of shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But
because I really have to say, just maybe you already noticed it, because you already heard Taxi Driver, your voice, like just your voice, is perfect for a show which is called The Voice.
Also would be a really good...
there are some other
and
people...
It could be also a good story for them. Okay, she could not sing, now she can sing. Look how we give her stage, you know? Yeah. It could be a good advertisement for them as well.
Yeah. So maybe we should... The Voice should ask you once again to come. They should ask you.
I think I'm okay also to not be.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here.
But that's what I'm thinking about. Music as a business.
Yeah, because
and
they
also
say, look,
it's a very hard business, right?
Look a queer person on stage. We gave them space. We are such a good people.
Yes.
But they don't see how is the background, how a queer artist, immigrants, could survive all these years and doesn't have a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. But now we put on fancy clothes on them and show them and how happy and lucky they are to be in Germany and perform on a bigger stage with in front of the most non-political judge. And it's quite fake, but also it is like it is.
Mm-hmm. And have you... an answer for you to that question? So how it's possible to survive, to make music, to make what you love, what you are, where your talents are, in this difficult business? How do you deal with it?
Maybe one day I can answer.
Mm-hmm.
I still cannot.
It's a struggle.
I'm trying to learn. So how to live with music? It's so hard. I don't know many artists who can live with their music, actually. They are suffering. But it's a tradition of being musician and artist to be broken forever. I see you, how you feel me.
It's also this romantic idea about being an artist a little bit, right? That you, know,
you do what you love,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's tearing me in two pieces also in the same time, you know.
Yeah.
There is a interesting song where you singing in the background in the choir of the German band Kappa Tult. It's called Ein halber Cappuccino, and which where the topic is about this music business. And now I am on a stage. I have an audience.
I didn't know what
famous,
is the song about,
but
you
I
know?
Cannot live from it. And in the choir in this.
Yeah, but I didn't know
video,
the meaning. But thanks for telling me. Now I know.
Okay. Yes, but all the artists in the choir have the same problem that they cannot live from their music, and it's really hard. And yes,
and like the lyrics is "Es zerreißt mich, ich will davon leben, aber es reicht nicht." So it breaks me. I want to live by it, but it's not enough. that's like, and that's, I have the feeling that's the idea of music. And there's also this romantic idea.
If you learn enough, then you are not musician anymore.
There's this romantic idea in it, right? Because, you know, people who love to hear to artists, because I'm not a musician at all. I don't have a voice.
Lucky
I don't
you.
Have a rhythm. Mm-hmm. So I'm just hearing it, you know? And I sometimes really notice that I have this romantic idea of this artist. They are free and they can do what they want. And
like the sociologists.
like social scientists, yes. If you are not a taxi driver the end.
Yeah, but you're German.
What? Okay.
You don't need to be a taxi driver.
As a social scientist? Well,
you don't have
sometimes.
To, I mean. Yes, of course.
Yeah, we are on the end of our podcast episode with Faravas.
No way.
Yeah, it's
I've
already
just became
15
warm,
minutes.
You know.
Yeah. And one possibility to live by music is when people book your concerts.
Change your job.
Oh, change your job.
No. Listen to music, go to concerts.
Yes, of
buy
course.
Buy the music and
yeah,
pay for
sometimes
it.
People don't how we can help like every like every comment, every share, every going to a concert, buying a merch, it always helps a lot. And don't think your little help or support doesn't count. It really counts.
And buy a ticket and don't go, but just buy a ticket.
I do sometimes.
Ah, really?
I mean, the cheap if it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you can also come to my concert on 11th of May, as of course. That's all the reason why I came today here, to convince you to come to my concert.
But the podcast will be forever on the internet.
Yes.
That's what you have to think about. Thank you, Faravas, for being here. Maybe just that people outside in the podcast notice that there is an audience. Maybe we can applaud to Faravas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.